butting up to the stage. I met Cole a number of years ago. We'll wait till the offering buckets are gone around and then the kids can head out in a moment, so I'll send them out in a moment. Let's give a hand for the worship team. Thank you, guys. Awesome stuff. Bless you. So years ago, my mum said to me, you've got to read this book, 800 Light Horsemen. You've got to read this book, Matt. It's about these Aussie history makers that charged at the Battle of Beersheba. And mum and I got a bit interested in it, and I was telling my grandparents about it. I said, oh, do you know anything about the Battle of the Light Horse? And my nan told me that her dad was one of the Light Horsemen. And I was so excited to hear. I don't think he was one of the 800, but he was one of that regiment at the time. And so I've read through the book and researched it. And he's also got another great book, Australia's Christian Heritage. Absolutely brilliant. And there's been a real shift in our nation in the last few years. And, you know, we've started this National Day of Prayer and Fasting. I've just given Cole the DVD of that because he's actually on the DVD. If you'd like to get one at our bookstore, there's an interview with Cole on there. And there's been a real shift in our nation in the last few years to pray and fast and see Australia turn back to God. And I really believe a lot of the messages that Cole's bringing over the years about Australia's Christian heritage, about the great Southland of the Holy Spirit and where that all came from, I really believe that he's been a change agent in our nation, a catalyst for change in our nation. And I'm really looking forward to hearing a word from him today. So all the kids can head out to New Hope Kids. God bless you guys as you're heading out today. Thank you so much, Pete and Kylie, for running that today. And I really believe we need to honour our guests when they come. So please, would you stand to your feet and give a massive New Hope welcome for Cole Stringer. Thank you, Cole.
Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you. Hey, put your hands together again for those worship leaders and singers. That was awesome. Wonderful, wonderful anointing. It's always good to have good praise and worship. Is that right? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, thanks, Matt, for that wonderful introduction. Sometimes you wonder who they're talking about. Just come back from the Northern Territory and Northwest Western Australia. Awesome. Up in the Kimberleys, beautiful. God's own country. Not the end of the world, but you can definitely see it from there. But I love it. Love it. Anyway, let's just look to the Lord. Father, we give you praise and glory. And again, we just welcome the Holy Spirit into the service and have your way and touch our lives and change our lives. Lord, we're just believing for genuine, genuine heart transformations, not just behavior modification. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your grace and your favor. Thank you for your anointing. Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As Pastor mentioned, there's a few books. There's a book on Smith Wigglesworth in Australia and New Zealand with a DVD in the back. Actually has some live, real footage of Wigglesworth and his daughter when they came down under. I love this Breath of God, 1,500 scriptures, two CDs with 1,500 positive scriptures. And I'm going to be sharing on this today, so if you want to know any more, there's three CDs up there. It's called You're Highly Favoured, You're Greatly Blessed, and You're Deeply Loved. Okay. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. I'm a stickler for the local church. My wife will be in our church. We've just got back from 3 weeks, so she's gone to church herself. But I love the local church. You know, we just don't wander around. We're part of a local church. In fact, I believe that, you know, the most important message that you hear doesn't come from a visiting ministry. It comes from your own pastor. Thank you for your enthusiasm, but nevertheless, it's the truth. You know, I pastored for a number of years. We hosted Kenneth Hagin Jr., Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savella. I had Cliff Richards, a singer, in my church. But I still believe God spoke to me about my own people more than any visiting ministry. Anyway, so you need to support your pastor. Is that right or not? Yeah. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I love that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not being smart, but I wonder if we're a little bit ashamed of the gospel now. We don't want to offend anybody. Is that right? Hey, I don't give a rip anymore. Anyway, thank you for hearing. I'm not saying I intentionally go out to offend anybody, but hey, I'm not shutting up. You know, the Bible talks about I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Drop over to Galatians. Let's follow this on for just a few minutes. Galatians chapter 1. The birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the great event in mankind's history. The birth, the death, The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central point of the Word of God. You know, it's amazing to me. Well, we preach the gospel. I'm not talking your church. I'm just talking, travel a lot. And then they'll come up with some obscure Old Testament scripture. It may be the Bible, but it's not the gospel. Now, I'm not saying it's not even a good message. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ paid the price once and for all. There is no other way. Is that right or not? You think about that. Well, go to Galatians with me. Let me look here in Galatians chapter 1 for a moment. And in verse 6, Paul writes, he says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. So now he's calling the gospel of grace. He says, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, a different gospel. I suggest you wouldn't have to go far from this church to hear a different gospel. Do I lie? The gospel of works, you've got to do all these different things, the clothes you wear, the makeup. Oh, I feel a love's going to come now. Anyway, won't go there. Or you've got to do this, push that, strive for yourself. Anyway, you know, it's amazing to me that I'm not being smart, but I even wonder if we even know what the gospel is anymore. We sort of just think that anything that comes out of the Bible, it may be the word of God, but it's not the gospel. Think about this. Every religion on the face of the planet is based on what you do. If you're a Muslim, you've got to pray 5 times a day facing Mecca. That's bondage to me. If you're a Buddhist, you've got to keep attaining to another level, higher level, higher level, till eventually you reach nirvana. All based on what you do. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, got to go to church on a certain day. Is that right? If you're JW, we studied with the JWs for almost a year. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, you can't read the Word of God without the watchtower. You don't understand it. You're not allowed to take blood transfusions. If you're a Mormon, hello, sorry, slip of the, but you know, you got to wear special undies. Hey, don't take my words. Google it and find out for yourself. But only the gospel of grace. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. It's the gospel of grace. Don't tell me in the church we don't put certain bondages on people. It's not much different. You know, you've got to pray more fast. I'm not saying you don't pray or fast. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. I remember when I pastored, I used to get up every morning, pray 4 hours in tongues every morning. But I didn't do it because God told me. I did it because Benny Hinn did it. How deep is this? And the Spirit of God spoke to me, said, son, when are you going to snap out of it? He said, you know, there's nothing. You're just trying to impress me. You know, earn brownie points with me. See, I thought if I did what Benny Hinn did, when God was under obligation to do the same thing for me, he did for Benny Hinn. And I never forget, I heard the voice of God say, I love you just like you are. I even like you. We're up in Darwin just recently, just a couple of weeks ago. My boys live up there still. And they play in a blues band on Saturday night. So we go down to the sailing club. If you've been to Darwin, beautiful down there, sitting there in the sunset, Bagon Alley. I'm scratching from the sandflies. Beautiful place, though. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 this big Harley pulls in, boom, 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 boom. Great big bloke takes a helmet off, and I thought, oh, rough-looking bloke. Walks over, sits down in front of me, and I recognize a man who had been in my church 20 years prior. I hadn't even greeted me. He looks at me, he says, Cole, I still love Jesus. He said, I haven't been in a church in 20 years. They wouldn't have me on their finger for a wart. And he looked at me, he says, but I still love Jesus. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. And then a tear runs down his cheek and he says, I know one thing. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm very quiet in this church right about now. Every other religion is based on what you do. You've got to perform. You have to. It's all based on whether or not you do it. You know, we're in the United States just recently. My wife loves the southern United States, the mansions, you know, Civil War, yes ma'am, no ma'am, she loves the manners. We're down in that place called Nacogdoches where they filmed the movie Steel Magnolias with Shirley MacLaine. She loves it all running around there, dribbling all over. Anyway, and I'm off taking photographs and I come back and she's talking to this lady and this lady's a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. And she looks at my wife and says, what are you, you know, we're in the ministry. She said, you can't be Christians. Why? Because you've got pants on. So now we're all going to hell because we wear slacks or we wear jeans. Don't tell me there's not a lot of bondage and religiosity in the church. I might have been born at night, but not last night. I didn't come down the last shower rain, Jack. Hello. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And then he talks about, I marvel that you're turning away to a different gospel. The gospel of narcissism. What's the gospel of the world? The God of this world is the almighty dollar. Don't tell me we don't do all sorts of things. Is that right? For the almighty dollar. So here, I'm just thinking about this. You know, as I say, the gospel of grace. Go to Romans with me here real quick. I'm very quiet again. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I love this passage. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, he's talking about Adam, but much more, not just a little bit, but we serve a God of abundance, but much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life as kings. Notice, righteousness is a gift. Here's a revelation for you. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. The day you got saved, you're in right standing with God. Is this correct or not? Nothing you will do or say, listen to me, will ever change that. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is that right? Receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness will reign in. I love that. Man, that's like sick 'em to a dog to me. 18 months ago, go to a barber on where we live. The barber's rough as bads. Every second word's a swear word. If you took the swear words out of his vocabulary, he would be struck dumb. I mean, every second word's a, and he breaks up words, kangaroo, expletive, roo, and drops it in the middle. And I'm going, I don't even really want to be here, but he's a good barber, so I front up there. And he's away, and he's the lady barber, and she's rougher than he is. Now, don't get all cranky. She's got tattoos. Now, don't get cranky if you've got a tattoo. That's great. That's great. I just didn't grow up that way. What are we going to do one day when we wake up and find out we're not all Maori warriors? Anyway, it'll come to you in a minute. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Anyway, and she's going for it, and I finally had enough. And she looks at me and she says, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. So the language changes immediately. How many of you know the language just automatically changes? That's not the first time I've heard bad language. I suggest it won't be probably the last time. But now it's all nice. And then now she starts picking on God, and God did this, and God did that. And I said, lady, just stop. I said, look at me. Look at me. No. I just said, stop. Most of them might look at you. They're doing this, like, you know. I remember even when I had some problem with my mum, at least I used to do this. Is that right? I can't look at. I said, look at me, lady. I said, God loves you just like you are. I said, listen to me. Just like you are, you are. It's called unconditional love. The only people that love you unconditionally is God and your dog. No one else loves. It's all based on conditions. You do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. Hey, I said, look at me. I said, God, and she starts to cry in the barbershop. They're all looking at me. I didn't do anything. She said, you don't know what I've done. I says, it doesn't matter what you've done. It's not based on what you've done. If it's based on what you've done, I don't qualify. I'm shot, Jack. Anybody? Hello? I said, it's based on receiving what he's done. The only gospel in the world that's based on what, not what you've done, but what he's done. Is that right or not? You wouldn't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. She starts to cry. 2 weeks later, she fronts up to church. I didn't even ask her. She fronts up to, as far as I know, she's still going to church. And so a month later, I go back, and the barber's back, and he sees me, and he brushes through the people, and he walks up, and he says, I don't know what you did to Helen, but that must be one hell of a church. That's exactly what he said. And I said, well, maybe you need to come. He said, I ain't got that bad. The simple gospel of grace. Go into a world, listen to me, that desperately needs to hear. It's not based on what you've done. It's based on what he's done. Receiving the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. I love it. How come we've missed it for so long? You've got to pray more and fast more. I'm not saying don't do that. That doesn't impress God one iota. It's not based on what you do, I do. It's based on what. See, we're talking about a different gospel, the gospel of works. Is that right? The gospel of self-effort and willpower. Is that right? Here's a novel idea. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's certainly not by our brilliant intellects, but by his spirit. Can I have an amen or what? I love that. I don't know about you, but I love it. Let me ask you a question. I asked myself this. The Spirit of God spoke to me recently. He said, son, are you really led of the Spirit, or are you just simply driven by your flesh? Now, I'm going to say some things because I'm leaving later. pastor was gracious enough. I was going to speak tonight before, but one of my friends has just had a quadruple bypass, and I'm going to go down and do the meeting for him while he recuperates. But I was just thinking, my goodness, the gospel of grace. You wouldn't have to go far to hear a different gospel today. The gospel of you've got to perform and you've got to. I remember when I first stepped into the traveling ministry, I remember a senior man of God said, you kick all the doors and go through the ones that open. I thought, well, dear God, don't worry about being led of the Spirit. For as many as are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:14, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. I love it. And I'm just thinking a different gospel driven, or you know, led of the Spirit or simply just driven by your flesh. Over and over, a different gospel. I'm not being smart, but I really believe that much of the church is simply driven by flesh. And we call it God. Oh, it must be God, I got goosebumps. Well, you can get goosebumps watching Lassie get caught in a barbed wire fence. That don't make it God. Must be God. I passed it over 35. It's taken me over 35 years to realize it's not by might and it's not by power. And it's not by pushing and shoving and striving and willpower and self-effort. It's simply by the grace of God. Amen. Now, the grace of God is unmerited favor. Unmerited, you can't earn it. There's nothing. If you can earn it, it's no longer grace. It's works. Paul fronts up, the great apostle Paul, and three times he asked God, remove this flesh, this thorn in the flesh. What does God say? You just need 10 steps to this and 14 formulas to that. No, he didn't. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. No matter what your problem, all you need, Paul, is a revelation of my grace. And what does Paul say? I'll glorify in my weakness. For when I'm weak in my own ability to produce results, then I'm strong in God. Paul wrote that. I didn't write that. How come we've missed it for so long in the church? How much is simply, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian, I grew up really just a nothing family. We just didn't, you know, and in the town we grew up in, there was churches there, tall steeple, few people. I'll never forget, it wasn't until I was married with kids I even heard the gospel. I just heard religion. I had a friend out of the Navy, turned back collar, cross hanging around his neck. You could have anchored the Queen Mary to. But I never heard the gospel. I'm not being smart. I never heard the gospel. I just heard religion. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. It turned me so off that my wife and I started looking the occult. The day I heard the gospel of grace, my wife and I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's over 40 years ago. Never looked back. Never even wanted to go back. What's there to go back to? Now, I don't know about you, but I was a boozer. I gave up drinking because guzzling was quicker. We'd wipe ourselves out, crunk country town. All there was booze, cars, girls and football. Hello? That's all we knew. You know, I'd get wiped myself out. Listen to me. The day I got saved, all desire for alcohol left me. I've never ever had the slightest problem with it since. Listen to me, look at me. You've had a problem with alcohol. You go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic over and over. The day, before God, the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, all desire for alcohol. It's too late to tell me there's no God. Listen, I couldn't do that. I strived, I pushed, I shoved him. But in one instance, I was set free. Those who receive the abundance of grace, not everybody receives grace. See, the grace of God is extending to you right now. If you're not saved, he's extending, is that right or not? The gift of righteousness. If you need healing, he's extending that grace of healing or provision. Whatever you need for this life was paid for on the cross. There's nothing you can do to earn that. There's nothing you can do to impress God. If I could just pray some more and fast some more and get myself, no, it's called the gift of righteousness. It's called grace, people. I don't know about you, but I love it. Let me read you here from a scripture. If you've got your Bibles there, let me read it to you out of the Amplified. I love the way the Amplified puts it. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. It says there, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. He becomes new, fresh, a brand new being. I love that. Is that awesome or what? And he goes on, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. But listen to this. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. For God so loved the world. You know, when I looked at that lady Barbara, you know what I said to her? I said, God so loved the world. Maybe the church doesn't, but God loved the world. That he gave his most present possession. It says here, reconciling, restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of restoration to favor with himself. Favor with God. Unmerited. That almost goes beyond belief. Unmerited favor. I don't know about you, but I love that. You know, just a few years, or maybe 18 months ago, I had the awesome privilege of speaking at a large business seminar, you know, 3,000 people, and I'm there, paid a lot of money. I actually enjoyed it. The people were enthusiastic. You know, they're jumping up. You come back to the church like looking in the window of a fish shop. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. Cruise directors for the next Titanic, not this church. Cheerleaders for the next depression. No, not this church, another church. You think I'm making it up, don't you? You know, when I got saved, I joined a church, a Baptist church in Darwin. I'll never forget, I front up. I had a gun shop. I'm a gun dealer. Hello? I front up to the Baptist church. They said, whoa, what do you do? I'm a missionary. What do you do? I'm a school teacher. What do you do? I said, I sell guns. They looked at me like I had 666 tattooed on my bum or something. You do what? You couldn't be a... Yes, I love it. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Is that right? By the grace of God. Paul says, that's what I am. Not because I'm better or smarter, is that right? But by the grace of God. You know, and so I had a problem. I'm not being rude. I went in, I said, God, did all the nerds get saved? Isn't there anybody with any sort of sense of humor whatsoever? I'm just being honest. And then they talked about ministry. That was the last thing I ever wanted to do. I'd look at them. And they looked like they'd lost their first $100 bill or something. And before God, I never had the slightest intention of ever being in ministry. I want to be Crocodile Dundee. Leave me alone. And I'd tell you, the day the Spirit of God actually spoke, I can still remember to this day, sitting in a convention when the Spirit of God spoke to me. I'll tell you. I said, you got the wrong boy. You made a mistake. It's three seats up. And when I told Jen, she said, you got to be kidding. Us? A pastor's wife. I can't sing, play the piano, hello? Anyway, thank you. I before God believed you went into ministry because you were a loser and you couldn't make it in life. I'm telling that's the truth. I don't think that way. But I thought, oh, look at the missionaries. They got their clothes from a missions barrel. They wear, you know, the sandal with socks on. I ain't going there. I'm just being honest. Is that right? I'm just trying to be as honest as I can. I'm not making it up. But the grace of God. You know, grace breaks down. Yes, it's God's unmerited favor, but it's a lot more than that. Listen to this. From Greek, it's God's empowering presence, exerting divine influence upon the heart, bringing about a change in a person's life. Grace gives us the power to do what's right in life. I like that. It's God's empowering presence. He empowers us. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not by striving and pushing and trying our best. You know, and as I say, I'm at this business seminar, and what kept coming through over and over? No gain, no pain. No pain, no gain, I should say. You got to strive, you got to push. And I'm thinking, dear God, that's exactly the opposite to the kingdom of God. If you go to Matthew with me, Matthew chapter 6, I think Pastor touched on this. Don't look at me like that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong, but that's the way of the world. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, Jesus writes, therefore don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Is that right? He says, don't go to bed at night. You know, he doesn't say you can't plan, but he says, don't go to bed anxiously thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Is that right? What about if I lose my job? If I could just do this or just do that? He says, don't do that. There's not a person in this building that hasn't done that. Do we have an altar call for liars? There's not a person in this building that at some, including me, at some stage, that we don't do that. And we call it, is that right or not? Concern. No, it's fear. He says, don't do that. That's the way the world operates. But seek first the kingdom of God. The way, is that right or not? The way the kingdom and all, now think about it, all, not some of it, all of these other things that we're striving and pushing and shoving and going to bed in absolute total fear, all of these other things shall be added to you. Now, you get your head around that. Most people go, oh, yeah, pull the other leg, it plays Jingle Bells, hello, something like that. Do I like? I mean, you can just see it. Away we go. Oh, yeah, it goes right over the top of the head. It's taken me, listen to me, 35 years to get to a place to understand the grace of God. The simple grace of God. Not pushing, not shoving, not striving. That's works, people. That's works. That's a way. Now, let me read to you here. I love this. This is from Matthew chapter 11. This is from The Message. It says, you're tired, you're worn out, burnt out on religion. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me. Watch how I do it, he says. Listen to this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Oh, I like it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Revelation for you, faith is supposed to be a rest. Not a fight, not a push. Is that right? Doesn't it say, those who have believed have entered the rest of God? Read it, Hebrews chapter 4. You want to know if you really believe it or not? You stop striving, you stop stressing out, and you believe God. Now, I'm not being smart, but I can tell you, that's how you know if you start to believe God, because you enter His rest. I love that. Go to Luke chapter 10 with me here. Let's look at some practical examples of what I'm talking about. You said you believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. Luke chapter 10, and we find the story here of Mary and Martha. My wife had a major problem with this for a long time. In verse 38, as it ended, they went into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me alone to do the serving? Therefore, tell her to help me. Let me translate to Ocker for you. They're sitting together and Martha comes out and says, hey, I'm working my guts out in the kitchen. This lazy slob's doing nothing. Is this too deep? Tell her to come and give me a hand. What's the matter with you? Snap out of it. And what does Jesus say? Notice what he says. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Not 14 formulas and 25 steps, but one thing. I didn't write it. One thing is needed. Is that right or not? And it says here, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. Is that right or not? And what she's chosen won't be taken away from her. See, Martha is doing it the world's way, like a lot of us. All she's concerned is, what are people going to think about me? It's not enough, is that right, to serve people. But I've got Jesus here in my house. Jesus, listen to me, never came to be fed. He came to feed us. Not only did he, listen to me, came, is that right or not, to be served. He came to serve. You get a revelation of what's going on here. You're going to do it the world's way, or you impress the world the way. And there's nothing wrong with what Martha's doing, but that's the way the world does it. You know, she's preoccupied. I've got to do this, and I've got to push, and I've got to. What will people think about? They'll think I'm a lazy slob. My wife comes from a German background, and you know she loves clean house, everything. If we're in a motel, no joke, no exaggeration, she'll clean the room up before the maid comes to do it. And I'm saying, honey, blah, 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 here, that's what you pay them to do. She says, well, I don't want them to think I'm a lazy slob. I said, oh, watch this. I can do it. Whoa, you beauty. Kick them everywhere. I'm creating employment. I mean, we're just so totally different. She said, oh, no, I've got to clean it up. Martha's preoccupied by the way the world does things. Is that right? She's not led. She's driven. She's driven. I've got to impress. Well, and Jesus comes along and says, yeah, that's cool. That's the way of the world. Not that it's sin, but Mary has chosen the one thing. What's the one thing? She's going to get one chance. I believe this. She walks in and says, I'm going to get one chance to receive from Jesus. I'm going to get one chance to draw on that grace. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible says put the Word of God first place in your life. She sits down there and says, Jesus, I ain't budging from this spot. If you want to get fed, you better do another loaves and fishes trick, because I ain't budging from this spot. And Jesus doesn't say, you lazy slob. He says, what Mary has chosen is the most important thing. This one thing
question. I don't know you people, but are you really led of the Spirit or simply just driven by your flesh? Because this is the way the world does it. This is why it's always worked before. Can I have an amen or what? You know, go with me to John chapter 21. You can see this all through Scripture. You know, it's amazing to me. I mean, get a revelation of what's going on. I mean, Jesus, every need that you will ever have was paid for on the cross. Your sins, past, present, and future, were dealt with on the cross. Is this correct or not? Hello? All we need is a revelation. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. That's the old covenant. That's the way of the, is that right? The Old Testament. Think about this. I mean, when God creates the earth, isn't it amazing? He doesn't create man till the world, the earth is complete. And is that right? He doesn't say, come and give us a hand. Whoa, third day we'll all be treading water, blowing water because there's no land. Is that right? He doesn't call us with those trees popping up out of the ground. He doesn't create man till the earth is complete. He says, there you go, boys. Is that right or not? Yes. Enjoy. Just leave the one tree alone, but go for it. Think of even before the law, the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. Is this correct or not? They come out, listen to me, pillars of fire lead them by night, pillars of cloud by daytime. There's no one sick. They don't even cast their young. Their clothes don't wear out. Their shoes don't. Is this correct or not? Hello? No one. Is this correct or not? This is under before the old covenant. Every need they had. Every day the manna drops. All they got to do is that right? But how long is it before it says, oh, can't be this simple. We need a bit of flesh. And the quail start to come. But with the quail come the serpents. How long is it in church, not your church, before we preach the gospel of grace? How long is it before someone comes and says, it can't be that simple. We need a bit of flesh here. You're going to have to do this and do that. I'm going to say some things. Pastor's in shock right about now. But anyway, I'm not trying to, you know, override any. I'm just telling you, I don't want to go back under law. I've made my decision. I ain't going back under that law anymore. You can say what you like. I'm a student of grace. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Every letter, he talks about the grace of God, the goodness of God. Is that right or not? That grace can be multiplied through the knowledge of God. That you can be strong and great. How do we miss it? But how long is it? It can't be that simple. We're going to have a little bit of extra flesh here. Think about this for an instance. You know, here's God that created the universe. Created the universe. Is that right? Everything, excepting if you're a Freemason. How often I've heard, if you're a Freemason, you're going to have to come to a special deliverance service. Hey, listen to me. Didn't we just read that you're a brand new creation? Excuse me, is that what the word said? Brand new creation. The old things are dead. Is that right or not? Passed away. What about if you're in the occult? Oh no, this is the occult capital of the world. I've heard that at least 100 times. How many occult capitals can there be? But anyway. And so what do we do? Oh, you got to come. You're going to have this spirit. The church we grew up in is maybe 25% Aboriginal. And they're very prone, you know, to visions and things like that. You know what we used to do in the early days? We, not me, but I was just a young Christian. They actually used to take people, tie them up in the bush and get them delivered. You'd go to jail for that. It's called deprivation of liberty. We'd tie them up to a tree. Can you believe this? Out in the bush. And who am I? I mean, is it stupid or what? It works like anything else's works. It's gone very quiet in this Presbyterian church right about now. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. Everyone who believes. In John chapter 21, you pick up the story here. This is after Jesus' resurrection, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And this way he showed, or more correctly, he manifested himself. This is how the risen Christ manifests himself. It talks about Simon, Peter, the others. They've quit, they've gone fishing. Verse 3, Simon, Peter said, I'm going fishing. That doesn't mean he's going barra fishing for the day. He's quit. He thinks they've missed it. Until Paul comes, there's not even a revelation of what happened on the cross. They don't know. Is that right? They thought the Messiah was going to come and drive the Romans out on a white horse and drive the Romans out. Here comes Jesus kissing babies and associating with ex-prostitutes. And they think he's missed it. They don't know. So he's quit. So they go back, like you and I, we go back to things we're familiar with. This is the way we've always done it before. Do I lie? And so he says, I'm going back fishing. And so along the way, Jesus fronts up. They don't even know it's Jesus. Verse 5, Jesus said, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered, and they said, "No." He says, "Well, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." Forget the word "some." It's in italics. Anything on italics is never in the original. You can remove it. That's just put in there to explain. He says, "Cast your net on the right side, and you'll find whatever it is that you're looking for." Now, before we go any further, it's not just talking about left, right. Right in bibliology, hello, is always the side of grace. It's the side of authority. It's the side of power. It's the side of favor. Psalm 16:11, I think it is, "At my right hand are pleasures forevermore." Where Jesus sits at the right hand of, is this correct or not? The Jewish boy and fathers would anoint their sons with the right hand. If you go to Leviticus, you'll find if they were suffered with leprosy, they would come to the high priest. The high priest would slaughter a lamb, take the blood, and he would take his right finger and dip it in the blood, and he would apply it to the right ear lobe, right side. Read it in Leviticus. He would take his finger, right, dip it in the blood, and anoint the right thumb. He would dip it in the blood and anoint it to the right toe. What's symbolic? I'll tell you what it is. When he touches the ear, everything you hear from now on will be blessed. Touches the thumb, everything that you touch from now on will be blessed. Touches the toe, everywhere you walk from today will be blessed. This is old covenant, but it's talking about the right side. So obviously, if there's a right side, there is a wrong side. Can I have an amen? And he takes it and he says, "Cast your net onto the right side and you'll find whatever it is you're looking for." Notice what happens when they cast the net onto the right side. Is that right? Their nets are filled to capacity. I love that. I don't know about you, I love it. The God of much more. It's always much more. Is that right? But much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Romans 5:17. Think about this. He is the God that created the universe. Surely he would know the breaking limit of nets. But when he first blesses Peter, is this correct or not? He fills the nets to capacity, they start to break. Surely the God that created the universe would know how much loaves and fishes it would take to feed the multitude in the wilderness. He feeds the multitude with 12 basketfuls left over. It's always not just enough, but much more. It's always, I love that. The God of grace, it's always, just wants to bless you. Can I have an amen? More willing to bless you than we are really to receive it. All he's asking you to do is believe it. And so he says, cast your net onto the right side. You know what I believe he's saying? Hey, Pete, are you tired of doing things in your own strength? Because Peter's a fisherman. Is that right? He's fished all his life, his father, his grandfather. He could probably say, "Well, I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter. You stick to building cupboards, I'll stick to what I know. Don't tell me I've fished all night, you don't catch fish in the daytime." Is that right or not? He could have said any of those things. If he was an Aussie, he probably would. But he believes God. Cast your net onto the right side. I'm going to say a few things here. When my wife and I first moved from Darwin to the Gold Coast was booming. I mean, it was a time, you know, house prices are going up, full employment, new beauty. But now, in our two-tier economy, yes, the mines are booming, but because of the high Australian dollar, it's expensive for people to come for a holiday on the Gold Coast. It's cheaper to go to Bali. It's actually cheaper to go to Bali for a holiday than go to the Gold Coast. Does that anybody know what I'm talking about? So now people are coming so much overseas, a high dollar, and the locals are going overseas. So all of a sudden, our employment rate, unemployment, is twice the national average. When I first went there, you wouldn't see a for lease sign. Every second warehouse business is either closed up or for lease sign. Now, I don't know how many people in the last 12 months have come to me and said, "Pastor, I'm not in sin, I'm not in error, but what I'm doing is not working anymore." And I say, you know, I've gone back to the principles I've learned from business college, and I've done this for 20 years, 30 years, but all of a sudden it's not working. Isn't this what's going on with Peter? He goes back to what he's familiar with, the way he's always done it, but he doesn't catch one, not even one fish. And Jesus said, "Tired of doing things in your own strength? Tired of pushing your own barrow? Tired of trying to make things happen?" I don't know what the situation is, but how many of you, your marriage is not working anymore? How many of you, your business is not working anymore? How many of you, your ministry or your church, and you're not into sin, and what you're doing, the world wouldn't consider wrong? It's just not working anymore. Can I have an amen? I don't know how many people have come up and said, Pastor, do you have a word for me? I got a word for you. Cast your net on the right side. Stop trying to do things and work it all out yourself. Stop being a Martha and start being a Mary. Listen to me. It may not even be wrong. It may not be sin. It's just not God's way. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, I got pastors. We pastor about 50 different pastors. And one young man I'm working for, he's in tears. And he said, Pastor, he says, I've done this. You know, it's worked for me. I've built this church. But he looked at me and started to cry. And he says, it's not working anymore. It's just not working anymore. Listen to me. Faith can become a works like anything else. You get healed by the word of God. You know the formulas, Mark 11:23, whatever. So we don't even need God. We just go back, confess some scriptures. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And faith becomes a work. Anything can become a work when you stop trusting God. I'm not talking about the gospel of grace. I'm talking about bringing Jesus back as the focal point of the church. Not Jewish dances, and I'm not knocking that, or traditions or something else, but bringing Jesus back as the focal point of the church. The greatest event in mankind's history was the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't understand that, you may know your Bible, but you have missed the very centerpiece of the Word of God. Can I have an amen? My wife loves to travel. A couple of years ago, we go to Paris, France. You know, land in Charles de Gaulle Airport, Paris, France. Not a good flyer. You know, 20-hour flight. The light's on, but nobody's home. I can't sleep on planes. Arms like orangutans from carrying my wife's bags. Hello. Pulled out of the socket here. And we do some meetings, and afterwards we go to the Louvre. Not the Louvre, the Louvre. Anybody been to the Louvre? Been to the Louvre. The Louvre houses the most valuable art pieces in the Western world. If you stood in front of one art piece, it would take you 3 months to go through the Louvre. Awesome. But there's one art piece that you don't even need a name. It's beyond value. There's not a value on it. All they have to do is flash it up and everybody knows instantly the Mona Lisa. Unless you've been living in a cave, everybody knows the Mona Lisa. It doesn't even have a value. They can't even put a value on it. It's the centerpiece, the highlight of the Louvre. You imagine. So we go over to Paris, France, 25-hour flight. You get off. Oh, sleep. Next day, you front up at the Louvre and you line up there seemingly forever. And eventually you get into the Louvre. Oh, and you come back and Pastor says, did you go to France? Oh, yeah, I love France. I love those. I even like those snails and those other things. I saw the Eiffel Tower. Did you go to the Louvre? Oh, I love the Louvre. Awesome, awesome art pieces. And then he looks at it and he says, what about, did you like the Mona Lisa? Never even saw the Mona Lisa. Well, you may have gone to France. You may have even gone to Paris. You may have even gone to the Louvre, but you missed the very centerpiece of the entire Louvre, the most valuable art piece in the world called the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa of the Word of God is the gospel. The greatest event in mankind's history, the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My wife teaches RE at school, 200 young heathens, and loves them. And she comes home and she starts to cry. She says, there's not one kid there that's ever heard the gospel. 200 young Australians. And she said, they've never even heard the gospel. Well, she can only minister 200. What about the 1,800 other kids? Never, in a supposed Christian country, never, ever heard the gospel. Just religion. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. If you go to Hebrews, and we'll need to close off here, Hebrews chapter 4, and I love this. In Hebrews chapter 4, and Paul, well, I believe it's Paul. Most scholars believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. New covenant. Hello. In a generation of striving and pushing and, you know, is that right? No pain, no gain. You got to. And he says, there's a promise that remains of entering his rest. Let us fear, lest any of you seem to come short of it. He goes on, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith by those who heard it. Verse 3. For we who have believed to enter that rest. Now just underline that and stop right there. He said, if you have believed, you'll enter that rest. You want to ask yourself if you've believed or you're just still in fear? Have you believed or are you just still striving, being pushed by your flesh, not led by the Spirit, but simply driven by your flesh? You know, I was reading that and it just jumped off the page to me. He said, "Son, do you want to know if you really believe my word?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, you've entered that rest. You stop striving. You stop struggling. You stop being fearful every night of what's going to happen and try to change things. For those who have believed who enter that rest," as he said. But look at the latter part. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Look at me. God loves you just like you are. Do you know every crisis you will ever face in your life, God knew about it at the foundation of the earth. Before you were even a glint in your father's eye, listen to me. Look at me. It says, from the foundation of the world, it was finished. God looked down the corridors of history and he saw what pastor was going to be faced, and there is grace to deal with it. No matter what it is, there is grace to deal with it. That's why Paul says, I'll glorify in my weakness my inability to produce results, for when I'm weak in my own estimation, then I'm strong in God. And you stop striving and struggling and stressing in your own strength. And let it be God. God loves you just like you are. Get a revelation just like you are. Man, unconditional love. Just a revelation. You know, I say to people, give the lady a red card. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. It's okay. It's God on the line. But you know, you say to people, lean over to your neighbor and say, God loves you. Oh, God loves you. And I say, now, Ray, put your arms around yourself. And just say, God loves me just like I am. And the volume drops to half. Because as soon as you do, a voice inside says, God couldn't love you, you mongrel. Look what you did this morning. You know, I get up to preach sometimes at my church in Darwin. I get up, you know, and had just had a fight with my wife and I kicked the cat on the way out. And on the roundabout, somebody cut me off, so I gave him the number one driver award. Don't look at me so super spiritual. Watch out, your halos don't slip down and strangle you to death. And then I'd get up and I'd got to stand up. And as soon as I get up to speak and all of this guilt and condemnation, oh, how could the anointing work you mongrel? I don't have any problem with it anymore. I say, hey, I'm forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get on with it. It's not about me. It's not about me performing or striving or struggling. It's just entering that grace. Thank you, Jesus. I just receive your grace. The abundance of grace and the gift, it makes it so much easier. Almost every meeting we've had, people are getting saved. Almost every meeting. I love it. Just talking about the goodness of God, the grace of God. Is that right? Not struggling, not making yourself more presentable to God. Righteousness is not a platform you attain to. It's a platform you start from. The day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are as righteous as you are ever going to be. That's just called revelation. Oh, no, but I love that. That's awesome. Not trying to big note myself, but last week, get an invitation to the Western Australian Governor's Prayer Breakfast. I spoke there 6 years ago. 1,000 people. Twiggy Forrest, some of the multi-billionaires are there. 1,000 people. You know, on the night before, the ex-speakers all assembled at Government House. Deputy Prime Minister John Anderson, awesome man of God, would have made an awesome Prime Minister. You know, international cricketers, Peter Pollock, Andrew Evans, politician, pastor, all these people, Margaret Court, you know, we're running down. Here's the governor, and here's the former deputy prime minister, and there's me. My dad was a professional kangaroo shooter. We blew Skippy away. I feel the love coming from the tree huggers. I love it. I said to the governor, I love it, I love it. I'm sitting here, look at that, look at him. And here's me, you beauty. Now that's called the grace of God, people. That's the grace of God. Because you could push and shove and strive and pay money all you like. And I know people that would gladly do that. But just the grace of God. Awesome grace of God. For God so loved the world. It says here, is that right? For he who believes do enter that rest. But drop down to verse 9, we need to close off. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Is that what it says? Faith is supposed to be a rest. It's not supposed to be a fight. Remember the early days where you have your camouflaged and you'd get up and you'd be doing spiritual warfare and binding and loosing and cursing and carry on. Hey, how far did it get us? I feel that love's going to come now. In one generation, think about this. One generation, we've gone from a prime minister that loved God, that turned this nation around, left us not with a deficit, is that right? But some 20-odd billion dollars in the black. Is that, hello? We've got a deputy that's born again spirit-filled, John Anderson. We've got a treasurer born again spirit-filled called Peter Costello to where we are today. A prime minister that's an atheist, that lives with a bloke, backed up by the... I'm not just criticising, but that's how far we've slipped in one generation. Just one generation. All of our brilliance on the gospel of you got to perform, the gospel of narcissism. You can have what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I want the mercy of God. Anybody else out there? I don't know about you. I don't want what I deserve. I want the grace of God, the goodness of God. We've gone from an awesome, I believe, the envy of the world to where we are today. Now, I don't know about you, but the simplicity, I really believe, is that we need to come back to the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. My wife talks to these young kids, 200. You know, last year she led 70 of them to the Lord in school. You're not even allowed to do that. Full on, she said, you understand what we're doing? Yes, 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 Mrs. Stringer. And so she led 70 of them, full on born again. Transformation. She loves those kids. She sees them in the street and they said, oh, you're the God lady. That's right. You're the God. I love the God lady. I love it. You know, we go out and we're out in the Kimberleys and you got guys coming in with a cow poo still on their boots. I love it. Aboriginal people. You know what? I'm not trying to talk about my brilliance in Hebrew and Greek. The Hebrew for this and the Greek. What's a Greek for? Shut up, you're boring. But I know we're not going there. And I'm not knocking any of that. But most people in the world don't even know what you're talking about. The world's going to hell and we want to give them a revelation of what the Greek word says. They don't even know how they're going to get their kids off drugs or going to have a job tomorrow. And we're talking about some Greek word. The simplicity of the gospel of grace. That God, through Jesus, paid the price once and for all. Every need that you will ever have, every crisis that you will ever face in life, God knew about it before the foundation of the earth. God says, all you need is a revelation of my grace. All you need is a revelation of my grace. I'll close off with this. Only two times in my life have I had major, major impartations from God. Once, you know, I told you I owned a gun shop, no intention of being in ministry. And in the early 70s, my wife talked me into flying down to Adelaide to hear some black American preacher called Fred Price. Changed my life forever. In 1 week, it was like, what? All of a sudden, revelation. It's called revelation. The longest journey you will ever take in your life is 20 inches from your head to your heart. Most people, it never gets beyond this. We're not talking about behavior modification. We're talking about heart transformation. Genuine heart transformation. It changed my life. I said to my wife, we're going to sell our business. We're going to buy. I never even remotely thought like that. There are people from the same church sitting and go, got nothing out of that. I said, are you dead or what? Changed my life. You're yawning. Doesn't it say? It did them no good because they didn't mix that. Is that right? The word of God with faith. Whoop, there we go. I could preach to you today the message I heard 40 years ago off the top of my head right now. I could preach it to you straight off my head. I mean, to be rude, but there'd be people in church that didn't even know what pastor preached last Sunday. Is this too deep? Just goes right over your head. But maybe 8-10 years ago, I was in a friend's church in Singapore. I've been going to that church for 25 years. When we first went, they had 100 people. Now they have 27,000 people. If you don't get 2 hours early, you don't even get in the building. And I've watched a revelation of grace. Awesome, awesome. On this young pastor, a revelation of grace. And more, that grace is more caught than it's taught. Just in the presence. And I'm sitting there in the Spirit of God, I started to cry. I've been in ministry for the first time in my life, a revelation of grace. You can preach grace without a revelation of grace. You can preach a message of grace without even the Spirit of grace, because I've done it myself. It's just a message. But grace is not a message, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John, listen to me, that the law came through Moses. But grace and truth was given by Jesus Christ. That's the way it comes, grace and truth. And I'm sitting there in the Spirit of God, and I told you I grew up in a real pretty, with boozes, and I was looking at an old photograph, football, Aussie rules, real football. Anyway, and I'm looking at this team, I'm 17 and 2/3 of my friends are dead. Car smashes, alcohol related. 2 years ago, one of my closest friends, who I've known him since we've been 4 years old, played football, grew up together, went to school together, married, died in an alcohol rehabilitation unit. So out of it, didn't even know his own name. Had so scrambled his brains, close friend, didn't even know his own name. I had a close friend 2 years ago, drove his car into a tree, killed himself. And I'm looking at this, and I look at my wife, my beautiful wife, and my kids, and my grandkids. And I think, there but for the grace of God, that could have been me. Not because I'm better, not because I'm smarter, but the day I heard the gospel of grace, I received it. Those who received the abundance. I didn't push it away. I don't need that. I can work this, help myself. You have just frustrated the grace of God. Paul says, I don't frustrate it, that the grace of God may not be in vain. How could it be in vain? Simply because you don't think you need it. I can work this out myself. Oh, I got the answer to my... Well, it hasn't worked too well so far, Jack. Casting it on the right side. Are you tired of fishing all day and catching nothing? Are you tired of giving it your best efforts, the best shot? But it's not working anymore. I just hear this voice say, casting it on the right side. Do it my way. Is that right? And you'll find whatever it is that you're looking for. Would you bow your heads? Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory. What awesome days to be alive. Lord, I just speak blessings over these people. I call them highly favored and greatly blessed, deeply loved, deeply, unconditionally loved. I ask, Lord, did you give them a revelation of your grace, of your faithfulness, of your love, unconditional love? And Lord, I just loose that anointing, the power of God on these people. While your head's bowed and nobody's looking around, just for a moment, just honor God. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, please, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm tired of doing things in my own strength. It's not working anymore. I'm just tired of pushing and shoving and striving. It's not working anymore. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to pass from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Is there anyone here? Just slip your hand up. Just to signify one hand. Just to signify, I'm tired of doing two hands. I'm tired. Three hands, four hands, five hands, six hands. I'm just signifying, I'm tired of pushing this barrow myself. I receive your grace. I receive the abundance of grace. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Would you stand up with me? Come on, everybody, just stand up. I want to just give you an opportunity. If you put your hands up, would you come on down? Let's just pray for you. I know it'll take a little bit of guts, but come on, you can come down. Come on, you guys, come on down. Let's pray for you. Come on, come on. You can do it. If Jesus could hang on the cross, you and I can make that step. Pastor, come out. What's your name, bro? Good on you, Rod. What's yours? Jason, how are you, mate? Gee, you must be a rugby player. What's your name? Darcy. Thank you, Jesus. Here's this lovely couple, Blondie and her friend. What's your name, Blondie? Where are you from?